Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Hard dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, September 21st. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Finding Happiness Despite Your Size. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments in the chat room. If you're on the phone lines, you may press number 1, pound 1, to let me know that you have a question or comment. If you're on the web chat, you just type in your questions or your comments down there in the message box, and then I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so you know what that means. Anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. If your call is suddenly lost, all you have to do is just dial in again at 347-539-5700, the same number you dialed the first time. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Again, I am Flora Brown, your host, but I'm also an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and a grandma of 3. I think that gives me special qualifications. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now get my book, Color Your Life Happy, if you're ready to make positive changes in your life. My book is also available on Amazon.com and in all major bookstores. But when you order it from my website, you'll get an autographed copy, and I know you want to do that. My book is full of stories, tips, and activities that will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. So I want you to go out and get your copy for yourself and for your friends. The holidays are coming up, so don't forget about it for gifts. Now, on this show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week I interview guests from various fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, and on, all of those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Today my guest is Pat Mattson, and I'm going to tell my listeners about you, Pat, before we begin. Hi, Pat.
Hello, Flora.
Hi. I'm going to take a few seconds to tell the listeners a bit about you, and then we'll be ready to start, okay?
I'm ready.
Okay. Pat Mattson is author of the book, My Cats Have Seen Me Naked. I like that title. How I Unfolded Self-Acceptance and Self-Love While Obese. Pat has created a unique website for women who suffer with anxieties about self-love, self-acceptance, and obesity. Pat Mattson is also known as the Wise Weight Woman, and her website is theworldofwithin.com. So welcome again, Pat. Let's get started with this conversation. I'm excited. What is, I know you have a title, Getting from Fat to Happy. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think that every one of us, Flora, has been put here for the purpose of knowing who we are. And who we are really is intended to be a happy human being. And so I think that whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you can bloom from right where you are planted, and you can, if you're currently not happy, you can become happy, and if you're happy, you can become happier. I like to think of that as benchmarking. You know, you start right where you are, you figure out where that is, you take an inventory of it, and then you ask yourself, what steps would I like to take to move from here to whatever I see is the next place in my life?
Okay.
Sometimes that means you have to move yourself out of denial.
Uh-oh. That's a very favorite place of many of us, denial.
Don't I know it?
So you're saying that whatever circumstances we're in, our circumstances don't determine our happiness, in other words.
No, you're right about that, Flora. And I'm also saying where you are right now is perfect. I don't think that we are in situations that are necessarily, shall we say, bad for us. I think they're ultimately good for us. But you have to look for the good in it, and you have to claim it as good.
Oh, okay. I like that. Look for the good and claim it. Because in every situation, there's some good somewhere lurking there. Sometimes
absolutely.
Good is, I used to tell my students that you could learn from every teacher, and maybe you will learn what not to be like, who not to follow from that teacher, but you still learn something.
That's right. Right.
Now, Pat, I can see that one perspective of your work is the getting from fat to happy. Now, what's the second piece, the finding happiness despite your size? What does that hold in store for your clients?
Well, I know, and you probably know this too, Flora, from all the women who are friends in your life, women obsess about size of their bodies. And I think that it's detrimental for us to do that. And I think that regardless of what your size is, you can be happy with who you are. I want to share an experience that I had some years back. I had taken a shower, and it was a very, very hot day. And I decided that I would lay down on my bed under a fan and just get comfortable. And I fell into such a relaxed state, and I thought, would you be any more comfortable if you weighed 50 pounds less? And the answer was, no, I would not. And so from that point forward in my life, I knew that my sense of myself and my sense of comfort and the level of my happiness was not linked to my size. I had linked it, but at that point, I unlinked it, and that's what I help people to discover. Right here and right now is your perfect place to begin. And any concept that you have about I'm uncomfortable, that's an arbitrary decision that you made, and you can unmake it.
Just like you made it, you can unmake it, huh?
That's right. Yeah.
I want you to tell our listeners about the kinds of clients that you're looking for, because you keep mentioning your clients. So who are the kinds of clients that you're looking for, and who can benefit from your service? Hello? Oh, we had one of those favorite telephone glitches, but not to worry. Pat will be right back, and she's going to share with us. I want to share a joke I heard Queen Latifah say one time. about women and our sizes, she said that if it weren't for men, that there would be a lot of fat, happy women in the world. And what she was alluding to is the fact that many of us are concerned about our size because we're concerned about what men think about our sizes. Another thing you have to think about is that the concern for size is a cultural thing. There's some cultures in which being larger than we want to be here is a good thing. And so it's very much a thing of culture, too. And Pat, you're back with us?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. I just got an earful of hiss. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. I just told a joke. You didn't even hear about it.
You're right. I'll have to go back and re-listen to the show.
No, I'll say it again. It was about Queen Latifah said that if it weren't for men, there would be a lot of fat, happy women in this world. And she was alluding to the fact that we are concerned about our size because we're concerned about what men think about our size.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And I was just sharing that not only men, we're concerned about what everybody thinks, but it's also a cultural thing because in some cultures, the people who are what we call fat were the wealthy people. So if you were seen as, if you were fat, you were assumed to be very wealthy.
Yes.
And because you could afford to eat whatever you wanted. So it's very much a cultural thing, too. And one of the saddest sides of worrying about size are the eating disorders that young ladies especially get into because they take it so to such an extreme that even when they are skin and bone, they see themselves in the mirror through their eyes as fat.
Oh, I know, and that's really sad, really, really sad. I have to tell you a joke that my darling sister-in-law, who has since passed on, told me one time, and she was a large woman, and she said, Pat, do you know why big people are so happy? And I said, no, why? And she said, they're not hungry. Which just cracked me up. Anyways.
Well, someone said that same related thing about the models. You see the high fashion models? One guy said, why do they all look so mean? And somebody said, because they're hungry. That's why. They haven't eaten. They're hungry.
I was a person who struggled with the opinions of men. I no longer do that. And I had an experience one time when I was working in corporate America where a man from the computer help desk came and he was working on my computer and we were talking. And at one point during our conversation, he looked up at me and he said, you're smart. And I said, I know. Did you think only that I was fat? And you know what, Flora? He had, much to his dismay. So I can go back and tell you now which kind of clients I can best serve, if you'd like.
Sure,
my niche market, shall we say, is women. I don't hold any kind of prejudice about age. Because I've been around the sun quite a few times myself. And so I just want to help all women who obsess about their size. And you could be a size 3 obsessing that you're a size 5. Or
right.
You could be a size 3X obsessing about 5X. Who knows? It's not about the numbers. It's about the obsession.
Yeah. Okay.
And, I have learned to look into the mirror and say, I love your little pink roundness. And I can teach other women how to do that, too, regardless of what inches that little pink roundness has.
Oh, that's great. Tell people how to reach you if they're interested. Should they email you to reach you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. From my website, theworldofwithin.com, you can reach me through email at pat@theworldofwithin.com. And I would love to establish a relationship and chat with you and help you with your stuff.
That's great. Now, that gets me to, why did you name your business The World of Within?
Ah, good question. You know, we were told by somebody a lot more smart than me that the kingdom of heaven is within and at hand. And I don't want to get into religion here because that's really not what I'm about. But I took that to heart, Flora. And it was like, okay, if the kingdom of heaven is within, how the heck do I get into the kingdom? And so I spent over 30 years of my life learning, studying, looking, researching, and I figured out how to get in there. I've had a lot of experiences with a lot of different self-help genre, shall we say. And I live my life now from within. You know, I use me as the focal point, the fulcrum from which my whole life operates, and no longer from what do my parents think about this, or how will my brothers and sisters see it, or what does my husband, you know, really know about this. I trust me, and I teach other women to trust them.
That is so wonderful. This sounds a lot like a metaphysical approach. Could you talk about that a minute?
Well, yes, I can. I have been a student of metaphysics for a long time. Now, I am also a teacher of metaphysics.
Okay.
I know that metaphysics is a word that frightens many people. Mm-hmm. And metaphysics has a lot of woo-woo aspects, the crystals and the pyramids and all that stuff. And that's not the kind of metaphysics that I'm involved with. The kind of metaphysics that I know about is about life as a science. And once you learn the rules of the science, you can put those rules to work and you can create a greater health, wealth, success, and happiness for yourself. I don't like airy-fairy theory. You know, I'm not one of those intellectuals that says, you know, well, I have this degree and, you know, I use it to knock people about the head. I don't do that. I feel that if what you understand, if what you know isn't practical and it cannot be used, then it will never be used. And using it is the key. It's the total key. So I always stress, how can I apply what I know? Because the proof truly is in the pudding, as the old saying goes, Flora. You probably agree with that.
Oh, I very definitely agree with that. And I also agree that if something isn't practical and can't be explained in simple terms and ways that someone can apply it right now, or at least begin to apply it right now, then it's unfortunate because that's exactly where it needs to be for the average person. And
yes.
I wanted to say a word about the rules. You mentioned understanding life as a science. The great
mm-hmm.
thing is the rules work for everybody. I hear
Absolutely.
People say, I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. Well, you may not believe in electricity, but if you flip the switch, the lights will come on. And you don't have to really understand or believe in it.
You know what, Flora? That's an excellent point. I'm so glad you brought it up. The rules of metaphysics are invisible. You can't see them.
Right.
But once you recognize that they're there and that they work, then you begin to see them everywhere. And I think that only the pure in heart can see good, as we're told. And once you learn these rules, then you begin to see more good. You begin to focus your thinking on more good. And since thought is causative, it creates more good for you, or health, or wealth, or happiness.
Right. Well, that sounds like that when it comes to people with size issues, that you're offering them really more than just focus on size.
Well, yes, actually, I got to the point of my understanding because of my size. it was the major impetus for me to go get understanding. And so it was the reason I was able to bloom where I was planted. And so, yes, we would look at the size thing, but these rules that I teach have universal applicability. You can apply them to money issues. You can apply them to relationship issues. You can apply them to, I want to sell a house. It doesn't matter. They have universal applicability. And so once you learn one way and you gain success in that one way, you also gain self-confidence. And then you recognize that you can use them everywhere. So, yeah, we start with size issues, but we really move on from there.
Yeah, because it's really symbolic of many other issues. It's just one of the issues that troubles us. Now, I want to move on to talking about troubles and problems as they relate to happiness. How do you help someone, or what is your technique for turning troubles into happiness? This is a big area.
Well, first, you have to look into the mirror. And I encourage my clients not to look at the full embodiment. Look deep into your own eyes when you ask these questions, so that you're going within yourself. And your first step would be to admit that you have a problem. You have to accept, okay, yes, I've got a problem. So many of us live in denial, Flora, and I know you mentioned that before, but if we can't get past that point to say, okay, I'm on a benchmark here, and yes, right now, I happen to be obese. Okay, so that's my problem. That's step one. The second step is to passionately commit yourself to changing. Our society today is so much about instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of changes that I am fostering don't happen rapidly. They happen minutely, millimeter at a time, step by step. And so you have to have a passionate conviction that you are, by golly, going to make this change, and then begin to take the tiny little steps that it takes to peel away the layers of misconception that you've got going and make the changes. And then if you do these changes from within yourself, from within your mind, I refer to that as using mental means, then those changes will be permanent. And I could give you an example, Flora, of the kinds of changes that I'm talking about not being permanent.
Okay.
When you diet and you exercise, you are only changing effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the food and the exercise, those are effects.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that you view yourself is the cause. And until you change the cause from inside you, then you will have no permanence, and that's why diets and exercise do not work.
Oh, because you return to that comfort zone of who you see yourself as being.
That's right.
So you
got it.
The way you see yourself, you return there after the diet and whatever, and then people say it doesn't work.
Yes, and you know what? I my heart goes out to Oprah. I watch that poor woman go through this struggle over and over again.
Isn't that the truth?
I know. I mentioned her in my book when I was talking about this. You have to go through and do it from mental means and change the thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to send her my book. But I don't think it ever got to her.
No.
I did send her one.
Yeah. She's in a tough position because she has access to so much.
Yeah.
And she has to make a superhuman effort to change that mental picture, because those mental pictures have been with us for a long time.
Yes, yes, they have. You know, when I first started writing my book, Flora, I was going to name it I Forgive Me for My Childhood. instead of my cats have seen me naked. Because there are so many things from my childhood where I made decisions that were restrictive, that were not accurate, and that were basically a form of protecting myself from things that I thought were going to hurt me at that time.
Sure.
And unless you go back and review all those things and correct them using the mental means that I was talking about, you'll just continue along the same path, manifesting the same thing over and over and over again.
Wow. Well, it just, I mean, to use Oprah as an example, it just shows that knowing what to do and doing it are very different, because she certainly has a lot of knowledge, and she's done a fantastic job of bringing a lot of worthwhile speakers and inspirational, motivational ideas
mm-hmm.
to her show.
Uh-huh.
Certainly knows about what to do.
Yeah, but as I said, I don't think my book ever got to her. It's probably sitting on a desk somewhere.
If it's on a desk. You think it's on a desk? It could be in a round file somewhere. There's got to be, you know, just tons of things that get sent to her. So somebody
right.
me through that. But I want to get back to your book title, My Cats Have Seen Me Naked, because
mm-hmm.
you said at first you were going to write I Forgive Me for My Childhood.
Right.
How did you get to the My Cats Have Seen Me Naked?
Well, the story about how I wrote my book happened. I was working with a coach mm-hmm. who asked me one day, what are you going to do when you retire? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm getting close to retirement age. And I said, oh, I'm going to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why wait? Why don't you start now? And I said, oh, I don't have time. Flora, you know this, but your clients don't, that I work as a virtual assistant,
mm-hmm.
and I help clients, you know, with their administrative work. And so I was very, very busy at the time, and I said, oh, I don't have time. And he said, well, Pat, 15 minutes a day is all it would take. And so I began to write. And as I began to write, of course, it's the story of my life and the lessons that I learned. I'm doing this major inventory, right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this book goes beyond the things that happened in my childhood, so I need a new title. And one day I stepped out of the shower, and I'm thinking about the book everywhere I go at this point,
sure.
you know?
Sure.
And there were my two precious cats. Their names are Percy and Chi, and they're tuxedos. And they were sitting on the rug outside of my shower. And as I pulled the curtain back, there they were looking up at me adoringly. And I thought, they love me, and they have no clue that I'm fat. And I thought, I'm going to use that as a title for my book.
I love it. I saw in your book that you view life as a mental experience. Why is
yeah.
that?
Well, I think that basically everybody who's listening to this call, including you and me, can think.
Yes.
And only mind can think. So that would make us mental. And if we can gain the perspective that everything that we're looking at is a mental experience. We currently call it physical. We call it matter. But it truly is mental. It comes as a result of the thoughts that you think. And once you learn that, Flora, you have the key to life itself, because you can then govern the way that you think. And since you can only think one thought at a time, you can choose which thought you want to think, and it makes you queen of the world.
So basically, you teach that by going within yourself, learning how your mind works, and then encouraging your mind to think along specific lines, that you completely take over the ownership of what happens in your life. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's the ultimate in responsibility. I don't know about you, but I was the eldest of five children, and I heard the word responsibility a lot.
I bet you did.
I detested that word as a kid. I just hated it. And now it's become the fundament of my life because I like being able to respond, you know, response able. And it has given me a power that I never had before. I was a victim before, Flora.
Yeah,
I've made
yeah.
a lot of changes in my life. And coming away from victimhood and from a burdensome sense to feeling on top of the world and completely in charge of my life is absolutely one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to me.
That is so fantastic. And I'm so happy that you're working with clients to help them reach that same place.
Yeah.
Now, is this the only way to achieve happiness in your mind?
Oh, wow, what a question. I think happiness is our norm. And I think that it would be unintelligent to think that the truth was limited to one perspective. The truth is the truth, and I think that there is aspects of the truth everywhere. I only have one aspect of the truth. And I don't think that anybody out there should stop doing whatever they do because now I want them to do my thing. No.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a process of addition. Mm-hmm. You add the next good idea to whatever your method of operating is and see how it works. You know, in the scientific world, the scientific method is to test the techniques, come up with an idea, figure out what makes it work, test the techniques, and then if they work, do the next good thing. And
right,
so
right.
scientifically, you know, because life is a science, I think, you test those kinds of things. And everybody out there, all of the self-help gurus, Flora, they all have ways to apply these same ideas that, you know, one person's way might appeal to one guy, my way might appeal to one gal. You know, no, there's not just one way.
Okay. So the there's no permanent one way. What about when you talk about testing ideas,
yes.
or you're talking about taking a temporary turn to see if that works, and then if that doesn't, try something else and so on?
Right. I think that I teach my students how to do mental work.
Okay.
I teach them how to create a mind model for what they want going when it comes to the size of their body or about the degree to which they love themselves. And I encourage them to sit down 3 times a day for 15 minutes and think the ideas that I help them write down. We usually start with about 30 ideas. And if they get into those ideas, then they can think them coming from a perspective of, I want to be absolutely convinced that what I'm thinking right now is the absolute, unalterable truth. And when you arrive at a feeling of absolute conviction from the thinking that you're doing, it will manifest. It pops out into your experience. It's the most amazing thing.
Now, how is that different from affirmations? Are the things that they list, the 30 things, are these positive statements, affirmations, or goals, or how would you describe them?
Well, what I do is I ask them, you know, what are the areas, the 5 key areas that address the main idea that you're trying to get to. I'm going to use recipe as an example. The main idea is I want to make a cake.
Okay.
And the 5 key ingredients are eggs, flour, sugar, shortening, and flavoring. Okay. So if I take a look at those 5 key ingredients and I say to myself, what ideas can you tell me about eggs? Okay. Well, they should be large size. They should be fresh. You know, you should keep the shells out, whatever ideas you come across. If you go through that process by using one main idea, then five key ideas that feed into that main idea, and then more ideas that feed into the five main ideas, you end up with 30 ideas. And they're all about the same thing. They're all about, you know, whatever it is that you care to achieve in your life. It can be anything. And so if you will sit and think about those things, you have to think about them specifically in order for them to manifest specifically. I have found that affirmations are sometimes kind of general.
Yes.
And don't get specific enough. And so if you get to the point where you absolutely are convinced that the affirmation is true, it will manifest, but it manifests a little more generally.
Okay.
You know, like, I want to be happy. Well, what does that mean?
What does it mean for you? Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to create the specifics of what happiness means for you. It means, you know, whatever it means. Being able to sleep in till 9 in the morning, wearing only bright red clothes. Who knows what that means, you know. So those specifics are important.
I know one of my goals when I retired was to earn money while I sleep. That was one of my
goals. Oh, lovely.
I wanted to wake up every morning and check my computer and see, ka-ching, that made money selling something or another.
And Flora, doesn't that take a lot of specifics?
I
have to have a website. I've got to set up a shopping cart. I have to get approval for credit cards. You know, I have to have a publisher for my book. All those specifics you handled so that waking up in the morning with your ka-ching could happen.
And this is something...
You're working it, lady.
Great, thank you. You know, this is something extremely important that you've just pointed out, and that is that in order for that dream of mine, that goal, to happen, there was a lot of stuff that had to be in place, and there's a lot of stuff that I have to keep maintaining to keep in place. Because almost every day when I turn on my computer, I have an email from somebody saying a link doesn't work here or something doesn't work there because the internet is not something I can fully control.
Yeah, right,
so
right,
there
right.
There are always things I have to fix. There are products that I've created that may not sell well anymore. Then I have to take a look at them. And so it's something that does not happen magically. You do have to set in motion a lot of little tiny steps.
Right.
And you have to maintain, and you have to change. I like your expression you had, add the next good idea, because that's something you have to do with your own work. When you discover something new about what you're doing, you get a new insight. You have to add or modify or change, so it's a never-ending thing.
Uh-huh.
That you have to work on to reach your goal.
Yeah, that's true. You know, because I believe life is a science, Flora. Just like when you are in first grade and you learn the numerals of mathematics, well, life as a science has its numerals too. And they are mind, thought, and understanding. And one of the first things you do with those numerals is you add good thoughts to the way that you're currently thinking, and then you begin to manifest good things.
Oh, yeah, I like that. And I've had many examples of manifesting good things. I've had some examples of manifesting things that weren't so good. But when you take responsibility for yourself and for your own decisions and choices, then you can take a look, an honest look, at where you are and how you've brought that into your life. What were those steps that led to you getting what you don't want? And
exactly.
If you can learn from that, then you are so much further ahead in the game because you now have some information you can work with to change things the way you want them to be instead of the way you don't want them to be.
Precisely.
And that's just a profound thought. That
it's so easy deepness is something that I've been accused of all my life.
What's that?
and the folks at the World of Within have the privilege of getting deep within and finding great comfort and joy there.
Now, I want to, we're getting near the end of the show. Oh, my gosh, we have 5 minutes left. But I want to know, do you have a favorite hope for mankind, man and womankind, Pat?
Wow. I think that one of the biggest struggles that mankind has right now is that they don't understand that this is a mental experience, and their focus is all without. Let me get the next good car, and let me have the next big house, and let me make millions and millions of dollars. And those people who achieve those things will turn around and tell you, I'm still not happy. And so my hope for mankind is that they figure out that it's mental. It's all mental.
Okay.
From within.
From within. And that doesn't mean that we can't have those physical things, gadgets that we want, but that they're not the source.
Exactly.
Of our happiness.
No, that's a great point, because what happens is when you get within and you achieve happiness, these things start popping into your life just automatically. The next good car and the room addition on your house and another grandbaby and wonderful.
Another grandbaby. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, I just became a grandma this year, and I'm nuts about the kid.
Now, wait a minute. You said a word that I want to repeat. You said automagically?
Yes, automagically, yes.
I love that, automagically.
Well, you know, I'm an old S graduate, and they talk about in the process of life itself, if you begin to put these rules in place, you will change the platform of your thinking, and then automagically, the way that you're thinking becomes so globally good that many goods occur to you.
Yes, yes. That is so amazing. I love that. I want to let you know in advance, I'm going to be using some of the things you shared today in my speeches and in my newsletter. Especially, I like that, add the next good idea. I like automagically. So I'm just warning you in advance. I'm taking notes.
I'll give you one more word that you'll just love.
Okay.
Hysterectomy.
Oh, wait a minute.
You have to remove the old history that's painful to you through a mental process of recognizing the good that was in that event and then moving away from its sting and into the good of it.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Pat, are there any closing thoughts you have for us today before we sit down?
Well, I would love everybody to sign up for my e-zine. It is called Insights, and it talks about what's in you. And in specifically when it comes to your bodily size, and you can sign up at theworldofwithin.com.
Theworldofwithin.com.
And you can
really
purchase
great.
The book, My Cats Have Seen Me Naked, there as well.
I love it. My cats have seen me naked. Mine too. I want to remind everybody to tune in next Monday, September 28th. At 11 a.m. for another exciting show. I'm so excited, I can't even talk. I'm your host, Flora Brown, of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I want you now to all have a blessed week. And there's just one thing I want you to remember, and I think you already know what it is, and that is color your life happy. Goodbye.
Color, color your life happy. Color. Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.
Color your life.